columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Leading off with the big story of the day, Sports Radio 1043 The Fan presents The Drive with Tyler Palumbis and T-Mac.
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
My guy Drew loves his macaroni and cheese and his chicken tenders.
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
It's Friday, Tyler.
It's Friday, baby.
Friday. I see we're up in our virtual draft here. I just sent you a note.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Are we on the clock?
Yeah, like right now. Like it just happened.
Okay, what are our options? You want to talk through it live on air here?
Well, what do we got to do here? I mean, we have one starting corner. We've got a left tackle. We got a quarterback. We got a Julio Jones. You're building a team. What would you go? I guess I'd go.
We got to get some defense now, D-Mac. We can't just go all offense here, right?
Yeah, no. I wrote down right tackle and corner, but I could be convinced to go another pass rusher and corner or something like that.
Yeah, okay. I'm down for either pass rusher or corner. I'll take a look at this during the break. We'll see who's the best available.
But don't forget, it's going to be corners. It's going to be like our pick, and then two picks later, our pick again.
Okay.
So when it comes to our turn, we really got
to. Oh, well, that's good to know. That's good to know. Actually, yeah. Now we got to put a little strategy behind that.
Yeah,
right?
I think once it comes around to us, we got to kind of think of two different guys, and we'll probably get them.
Gotcha.
So
right, because I mean, there's a bunch of dumb dumbs that are just picking after us. I mean,
yeah.
It's
funny, like, you're building a team. I guess you're right. You know what? I probably would go another dynamic pass rusher. And I don't know if there's any interior.
Oh, nothing wrong with the corner either, though. I mean, we'll take the guy that we're most concerned that somebody else will take. That's what we'll do.
All right. We'll take a peek at it maybe during the break. And
No, that's how you end up with Jordan Love.
Right. Okay. We got a bunch of stuff to get into. And by the way, I would like to echo the sentiments of Zach Bye at the end of his show, Tyler. It has been a wild time in our country's history, both nationally and locally. So
it's it is insane turning on the news right now.
Night was I was like, what is going on here? What are we watching? What's happening here?
Yeah, I mean, these riots are just wow.
Yeah. So hopefully everybody has a calm head and, people are well within their rights to protest things.
It's be just, upset, yeah.
You're not well within your rights to, start lighting buildings on fire and looting. I mean, nor do I think you're within your rights to threaten violence on people. I just calm down. Woo. Take a breath, everybody. Holy cow.
Well, I certainly understand why it's such a flamboyant issue. I for sure understand that.
NBA. So the NBA says they are going to. Well, what are they? They gave a date for when they want to get going. Is that right? Like late July, they want to get going.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like, D-Mac.
Yeah. Majority of NBA GMs want to restart with playoffs. All right. I don't think I had it all hammered out the right way yesterday, Tyler.
Yeah, nobody did. Yeah.
But I think I got it. I think I got it now.
Oh, you do?
I believe so, yeah. The key is, I went back and looked at the standings. And when you look at the Eastern Conference, it's a little bit ridiculous. For example, the eighth place team is Orlando. And they have a 5.5 game lead on the ninth place team. That's a lot.
Right.
And then you got Washington, Charlotte, Chicago, and New York. And New York is 9.5 games away from eighth place. So it should not be easy for them to be in the playoffs, nor should they just automatically make the playoffs. So and then you look at the Western Conference, and it's a little closer. But Portland is still 3.5 games away from I got that right? Yeah, they're 3.5 games out of eighth place. But so is New Orleans, so is Sacramento. They're a little bit more clustered up, and San Antonio is only 4 games away. So that's a little bit more reasonable. But here's my concept. So yesterday I said 3 8-team brackets. We'll scrap that. How about this? How about this, Tyler? Think about this for a second. We're going to go.
I'm going to actually hear you out this time.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to go with 6 4-team brackets. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4. As it sits now, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All 8 teams, if you're one of the top 8 teams, you're in the playoffs. But we're going to battle for seeding, okay? And then we're going to take teams 9, 10, 11, and 12. And you are going to play in a round-robin sort of tournament. And the top 2 teams will play. And then when we start the playoffs, we'll have 1 versus 10, 2 versus 9, and kind of go from there. And the round robin amongst your group of 4 is you're going to play everybody twice. So you get 6 games. But you're only playing amongst yourselves in terms of your seeding. How about that?
No, I still don't like it, D-Mac. I really don't.
Why don't you like this?
Because Just go straight into the playoffs, see them exactly where they should be today based off the record they've had, and let's go. Put them in the playoffs. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to do anything radical. Just simply go into the playoffs. You've got all the records. You've got all the seedings in place right now. People should be rewarded based off the work they put in the regular season, and nobody should have to be put at risk of being punished for slipping up in some sort of round-robin tournament that's going on before the playoffs.
But who would be getting punished?
Teams that would have been seeded higher if they lose a couple games. I mean, I don't have the specific examples, but
well, the only team that I would see it's unfair to perhaps is Milwaukee, who has a 6.5 game lead in the East,
okay,
and the Lakers, who have a 5.5 game lead in the West. All the other teams are pretty close together.
I really don't understand what your hesitation is with just going into the playoffs. Like
nobody wants to do it. They don't want to do it.
Nobody wants to do it. Of all the GMs that were polled by Adam Silver, 30 of the NBA general managers said that they would prefer to go directly into the playoffs.
Right. Sorry, my bad. The players don't want to do it.
What do you? You know that how? Tell me how you know that.
I was watching Ramona Sherburne on ESPN this morning. That's what she's an NBA reporter. That's
what
she said.
And what was she saying?
She said, no, none of the players want to just enter into the playoffs. They want to play some games before they get into a playoff.
I don't know about that. And I know I wouldn't feel that way as a player. I know that I would want to be rewarded based off the work I put in for the regular season. I've done it.
In my theory, you are being rewarded. You're one of the top 8 teams.
No, you're
automatically
putting,
in.
You're putting me at risk to get a lower seed.
Not much, though, dude.
But there is.
I'm putting the top 4 teams together, then the next 4. So you're playing within the same group of teams you're already clustered with.
Hold on, D-Mac. Please explain to me. What is wrong with just taking the record as it sits today and start the playoffs?
What can I tell you? I'm watching the report on ESPN, and that was what Ramona was saying, that nobody wants – the players don't want to do it.
Well, guess what? If 30 of the NBA general managers would prefer to go directly into the playoffs, that's probably what's going to happen.
So here we go. The Nuggets are in 3rd overall place. They've had all this time off, and we're just going to go in the best 3 of 5 against Houston.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, sure, I guess. You can obviously do that. That'd be the easiest way to do it. But you're
It's also the safest, most logical way based off the work that's already been put in.
I think it's the okay, I'll give you logic. I just think it's boring. That's all. I think it's boring, and you're going to have teams.
You just want more basketball.
Yeah, I think you're going to have teams that are eliminated in 3 games. I mean,
so what? Well, I mean, what's what?
I don't know. I think if you fought to you know, have a playoff spot, you deserve more than, you know, 3 games. I mean, you're going to eliminate half the teams in less than a week.
Again, so what? I mean, what's
by the way, what's, wait, hold on, hold on. What's the rush here, man? Like, why Why do you need to rush into the playoffs?
Oh, it's not so much about the rush for me as it is I can't figure out a logical way to get them any warm-up games that would
I
make sense.
I just gave it to
me.
You.
No, D-Mac, you did not just give it to me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you that teams could drop in their seeding.
Not
and on
much.
Top of that, and on top of that, the teams that are highly seeded and the teams that I have got the security that are not concerned by it, they're not going to play anybody anyways. So it's not going to be any sort of warm-up game.
Dude, you wouldn't want to see, like, the Nuggets play the Clippers and the Lakers twice, four times total?
Oh, would I as a fan want to see it? Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course I would as a fan, but I'm talking about what is the best thing and the most fair, appropriate thing to do for these teams.
Six teams of four, round robin, play each team twice, six games. You take it from there. You can just have the games count on. It's like finishing the regular season. That's all it is. You'd be
no, it's not finishing.
But you'd be guaranteed.
In the regular season, you would be playing against teams that are not going into the playoffs. In the regular season, you would just be playing your normal record as it sits today. And that is far different from playing against teams that are on the cusp or are in the playoffs. That's a much different situation.
So in my scenario with the six groups of four, if the Nuggets stayed at the third seed, which they are right now, but we're having 10 teams go into the playoffs instead of eight from the Western Conference, here we go. The Nuggets are playing Memphis, who they have a 11-game lead on in the regular season. They'd be playing Memphis in the best three out of five instead of playing Houston. You're playing Memphis instead of Houston. You don't like that?
Hold on. Back up. They'd be playing Memphis for what?
And playoffs. And, after their six games, they'd be playing
after
Memphis
the six the, games.
Right. And here we go. Now we have a 3-5 against Memphis.
Okay, that's instead fine. Of, I mean, sure, that's great. That works out well for the Nuggets. I mean,
so now we're talking at least nine Nuggets games, no matter what, even if they were to lose three straight to Memphis.
Oh, D-Mac, trust me. I'm telling you right now, as a fan, I like your idea. As a fan, I think it would be better to watch more basketball games, of course, but I think there's a couple things that are going to play into it as well. You're talking about when are they really going to get this thing going? It's going to start at the end of July, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so so you're very quickly into August, and how much time do you need to complete your idea?
I don't know. I mean, 2 months, 6-7 weeks, something like that.
Okay, so I don't know. I mean, can they pull all that off? I mean, is there any concern about competing with NFL? Is there any concern about competing with baseball, with anybody else?
No, it's the NBA. They don't care about that stuff.
Well,
no,
they don't
care. No, I mean, it's August. You would it's July, August. So it's, you know, training camp.
I bet you they would prefer to be the only one on TV. I bet you they'd prefer to get it done before NFL starts.
It would make a sort of a move for the NHL to get their act going. And if they're really going to wait till late July or August, then, hey, NHL, you could have a whole month to July to yourself. Whole month of July to yourself. Baseball,
right. Dude,
who knows with baseball? Who knows what those ding-dongs are going to do with baseball, right? Who knows where the money's going to go or what they're going to do?
What if you just did it March Madness style and you just you seated everybody like without the conferences
and did single elimination?
No, just saying like you don't have to necessarily seed based off of conference play.
I could be talked into that if you just want to go sort of in that direction. I just think that there should be some sort of reward for the type of season that you've already had, and I think that...
Oh, right. See, that's where you and I disagree, is that I think that your idea is actually punishing the teams that have had good seasons.
How would it be? How would it be if you're locked
in? How do you not understand that if you've got a 3 seed, a 2 seed, whatever it might be, and you drop... Two or three games in that, and you drop down to a third or a 4th seed. How do you not see how that could be punishment?
So you're a 2 seed and you drop to a 4 seed?
What a big deal.
Oh, well.
What do you mean big deal?
So, I mean.
That's a huge deal.
I don't think it's a big deal at all. I think it'd be exciting. I mean, all right. So
look, I agree with you. It'd be exciting.
All right. So you're the Nuggets. You're a 3 seed. The worst they could do is drop down to a 4 seed. Utah, in my scenario, would stay at worst a 4 seed where they already are. The only teams that you would really feel bad for are the 1 or the 2 seeds if they really had to drop down.
What are the players or what are the teams gaining out of your situation?
Games. And they're
how is that helpful?
because they can play basketball. They'll be better at their sport. They can play at a competitive level.
They're going to have their own little, they're going to have a training camp before it begins.
Okay. Tell me about those preseason games, Tyler, compared to the regular season NFL games.
Well, that's exactly what you'd be getting, D-Mac. You'd be getting preseason games. You wouldn't be getting real NBA action. You'd be getting teams that are managing their superstars. You'd be getting teams that flat out didn't play a superstar because they don't want to put them at risk of some sort of soft tissue injury.
That's their choice. They can do whatever they want.
But I've answered your question. That would turn into a preseason game.
You're forgetting about a big part of this, too. And that's the re-engagement of fans just back into the sport. If you just start the playoffs with 16 teams, you're leaving 14 teams out of it. Under my scenario, there's eight other markets, eight other cities that get
to They didn't
to,
earn
know,
the right to be in it at this point.
Oh, my God, dude.
They didn't earn the right.
All right. I tried. I tried.
What did they play the regular season for then?
I tried. I mean, we can all admit this is a unique set of circumstances we got going on here.
Sure.
Perhaps you got to do things a little bit differently.
I don't know why you have to do it any differently. If the goal is to just go straight into the playoffs, then just go straight into the playoffs. I mean, if you don't want to finish out the regular season, then there's no reason whatsoever to come up with some crazy round robin idea that you don't need to. I thought I nailed this one.
I thought this was kind of cool.
Well, you nailed it inside your head. You didn't nail it inside of my mind.
Yeah, we have some excitement. The Nuggets could play the Lakers twice and perhaps get a number one overall seed and. You'd have 10 teams in the playoffs and more than eight.
Do you really want to play the Lakers before you go into the playoffs?
Yes. Yes.
You do?
Yes,
you do.
Of course.
Really?
Why wouldn't I?
Why would you want to?
Because it's exciting and it's great. Plus, if you play better teams.
No, you as a fan would like that. I'm saying you as a player or you as a coach or you as a GM.
Why would you want to play the Lakers before you go into
the playoffs?
All right. We're, you're really missing something here. Who do you think sports is for?
Fans. No.
Right.
Well, I don't know. As a player, it was for me to make my paycheck.
Right. But the reason you were able to have that lavish lifestyle, my friend, was because ultimately, at the end of the day, your activity, your livelihood was for our entertainment, period. And the fans should be taken into consideration.
I don't know. I kind of viewed it as it was for my family. It was for taking care of my family and my kids, you know?
Well, that's your side of the coin. You know, everybody else just
wants to
beat the crap out of each other because we're just trying to forget our miserable lives, you know, Monday through Friday. So we got to watch the weekend warriors slug it out. That's the truth of sports. And you get richly rewarded for it.
I don't know why you have to come up with some insane idea when it's very simple. Just seed them based off of what has happened.
Well, you can do that, and then you leave out a bunch of teams and a bunch of markets and a bunch of fans. And I think you should engage as many people as you possibly can that makes sense. That's it. That's all. Mm. That's where I'm coming from. Mm.
Well, you know what? It's Friday, D-Mac. No offense, but your idea was terrible.
It's a no offense Friday. No offense, but that was the most brilliant thing I've ever said. However, I got other big news for you. And I call this revenge, Kevin. Revenge of the nerds. Revenge of the nerds.
Oh, yeah.
You recognize this song?
It's from Nerds.
All right. That's how they were shutting things down, man. And the talent battle at the end of Revenge of the Nerds 1.
Like it.
I'm playing this music because the Broncos announced a bunch of different jobs. We'll keep this music going here, Kevin. We hear
Did
about
you
Lambda,
apply?
Lambda, Lambda, and Omega Move. I'm not nerdy enough, unfortunately, Tyler. See, this is crazy for me. I'm not cool enough to be considered for anything.
Right.
But I'm not nerdy enough to justify this type of stuff.
Oh, okay. Okay, it's got to be something smart then.
So, you know, they blew out the head nerd, right? They got rid of him.
Yes, Mitch.
See ya.
Thanks, Mitch.
Mitch Tanny. Goodbye, head nerd. Okay, here we go. Turn it up a little, Kevin.
We Lambda, 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 and Omega Moon. And we've come here on stage tonight to do a show for you.
Yeah.
We got a rockin' rhythm and a high-tech sound that'll make you move your body down to the ground. We got Poindexter on the violin. And Lewis and Gilbert will be joining in. We
what?
Got Booger Presley on the mean guitar.
Come on.
And a rap by Little Omi Lamar.
Hit it,
Booger. Takashi beating on his gong. The boys and the moose are clapping along.
Yeah.
And just when you thought you've seen it all, along comes a lambda 4 foot tall. So won't you come on out here on the floor so we can work our bodies like never before.
Yeah. Here we go. Let me give you the promotions today. Tony Lazzaro becomes the Senior Director of Football Technology and Research.
Okay.
Tony's been with the team for 19 years, a long time.
Wait, what has Tony previously been doing?
Who knows?
Okay.
19 years. He was there when you were there. You don't remember Tony?
Yeah, I remember Tony. Yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
What are your fond memories of Tony?
I mean, it's just like he's Tony. He's like he's like Tony.
Oh, dude, keep the music going, Kevin. Come on now. Don't let me down here on the music. Well, start it up again if it faded out. We got more nerds to talk about in a good way. Then we got Carl Schreiner, who is the director now of Football Information Systems.
Huh?
Right? Director of Football Information Systems.
What?
Yeah. Then we got Scott Flaska, who's the senior manager of Football Analytics.
You know what? Flaska, with a name like that, he sounds like he belongs in that job. That's a smart dude.
It sounds like it, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Then we have Richard Hillebrand, who's the senior software engineer. Now, again, these are all Broncos employees.
Okay.
And finally, we have Emily Kuehler, K-U-E-H-L-E-R, and she is the Broncos data scientist.
Ooh, data scientist. Whoa, not like data evaluator, like
no,
scientist. What does that mean? Like you're creating new data?
If we were to go up to Vic,
brand new, like molecules and everything?
If we were to go up to Vic Fangio and say, hey, Vic, what exactly does your data scientist do for you? What do you think he would say?
What's a scientist?
Emily, as a data scientist, is in her second year with the Broncos. She was on technology research, data collection analysis. She went to Stanford and began her career at her alma mater as a quantitative research assistant. She is the Broncos data scientist.
You know what? It sounds like we just hired Wall Street.
So on today, if Emily's going into work as the Broncos data scientist, what do you suppose she's doing?
Boy, Broncos data scientist. See, I feel like it should say analysis.
Scientist. The job is data scientist.
Okay, so we're going to take like the third down percentages, combine it with the fourth down percentages. We're going to times that by the 16 games that are played. And that's going to come out with a percentage and an annual average of how many times Patrick Mahomes throws a touchdown on third and long. Right?
Maybe. I really don't know. But let me tell you.
Ooh, maybe it's like GPS stuff. Maybe it's like
GPS.
GPS. Like you got to put a GPS on the ball during practice,
uh-huh.
And you know how depending on how fast Drew Locke was throwing the ball, that depends how many reps he's going to get the next day. You know, if he didn't throw it fast enough, then he can take two extra reps the next day.
How about Scott Flaska, who's the senior manager of football analytics? Fifth year with the Broncos and has worked with football operations department to design and implement data-driven research and solutions.
Okay.
He is a CU graduate in mechanical engineering. He previously worked as a program development engineer for Northrop Grumman in Boulder.
Whoa.
These are like football guys and ladies.
Building rockets and stuff. Like, whoa, what if you could put a rocket in the ball? Drew Locke has a rocket arm. You combine that with, like, a gas-powered ball. Is it diesel? Is it gas? Maybe, can you do electric?
Tyler, maybe. I don't know. I mean, on the surface, I love it because it shows a commitment to a different side of football, and I think it's ultimately a positive. But I'm not going to lie. I am dying to know what these people do.
Can we get a job description alongside the actual title?
Yeah, kind of. Let's see. Emily has promoted to data scientist. I guess that's not really a job description. I really don't know. Not really, I guess. I don't know specifically what these people do. But I just find it amazing that Vic Fangio has a data scientist on his team.
Whoa.
I cannot wait to ask Vic Fangio, what does your data scientist, Emily, what does Emily, your data scientist, do for you? I cannot wait to ask him that question.
How do you go from Northrop Grumman to the Denver Broncos?
Well, Drew Lock, like you said.
I think we got smart people.
Drew Lock has a rocket arm.
Yes.
There you go.
Bears be walking in the crib and everything.
We'll come back with a water cooler next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
It's time to take a trip to the water cooler.
Is this good for the company?
We need to talk about your TPS reports.
Did you see the memo about this?
We find it's always better to fire people on a Friday.
If you could just go ahead and make sure you do that from now on, that would be great.
Here's Tyler and D-Mac.
What would you say you do here?
I don't know if you got this, Tyler, but the minor leagues of baseball are getting hammered. They're dumping a ton of players. The MLB draft, you know, it's only going to be 5 rounds on June 10th. So it's actually a kid, a high school kid, Jack Moss out of Cherry Creek High School, who I actually thought.
Go Bruins?
Yeah, this kid is. I mean, he was voted the Gatorade Player of the Year, even though there was no spring baseball season. But this kid deserved it. He's incredible. And I really did think, like, wow, I think he's got a shot. But 5 rounds?
That's going to be tough.
Yeah, that is going to be tough.
I mean, there's only 7 in the NFL. Can you imagine? Can you imagine trying to get drafted in a sport with only 7 rounds?
Well, they're really I think they're going to get rid of a lot of these minor league teams. I think a lot of them are just going to bite the dust completely. And don't feel bad.
You mean long term?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're
really
seeing the beginnings of the elimination of minor league teams, period.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. That's a bit of a bummer, but okay.
By the way, for your fellow Bruin, Jack Moss, he's going to Arizona State, and likely he...
I liked him for a minute, but...
Well, you know, CU does not have a baseball team.
Yeah, let's just hope he goes pro. That'd be cool.
Nothing like watching great Pac-11 baseball. But the number one pick... could be Spencer Torkelson, who was the first baseman for ASU. So I think young Mr. Moss could step into a starting spot next year. So best of luck to him.
Is this just a segment to suck up to ASU again?
No, sir.
We get this every single day, D-Mac, you know?
I'm just telling you the facts, dude. I'm just telling you the way things are going to lay out for the baseball world.
Okay.
But the issue is there appears to be fewer and fewer of these minor league jobs, okay? So check this out. Andrew Church, a second-round pick by the Mets in 2013, just exploded on the Mets as they officially released him this week. I told you, they cut a lot of people. And who did he take a shot at? Tim Tebow.
What?
Yeah. On Instagram. This is from Andrew Church, second-round pick, 2013. Today I got released by the New York Mets organization. The people on the other end of the phone had nothing but good things to say, and I appreciate that very much. I've always kept my opinions to myself out of respect for the organization.
Oh, so here it comes. I've always kept my mouth shut, and you know what? It's a No Offense Friday. It's time for me to tell the Mets, no offense.
I signed a contract with them, but now that it's officially over, I'd like to say some things.
Ooh.
No offense.
This is not a good idea.
Here we go. I was bitter, frustrated, and angry at the Mets organization. I felt my competitive nature was being taken advantage of. I realized this wasn't in my best interest when my delayed flight finally landed in the third inning, and I was on the mound in a Triple-A baseball game for the first time without any warm-up throws. Okay.
I've been there, done that.
My UCL originally tore that night. Instead of seeing a doctor, that's your Tommy John muscle there. Instead of seeing a doctor like I
what
asked.
Is a Tommy John?
Tommy John surgery is to repair a UCL. So if you
I'm kidding. I know what it is. It just is a weird name.
Instead of seeing a doctor like I asked, they sent me back to High A to pitch in the playoffs. When I told them I couldn't, I was made out to be the bad guy. Then the next year, they made a mockery of our team by putting a celebrity on it to sell more tickets.
Ooh.
I saw players lose their jobs because of it. We weren't playing to win. We were playing to make everyone else money, not the players. We never saw a cut. Well, allegedly, that one player did.
Really?
Wow.
Whoa, there's a strong accusation.
Wow. I think people are starting to understand that more now. But they didn't in 2018 when it was happening again, and I was fed up. Wow. So this dude is saying that Tim Tebow, and only Tim Tebow, was getting like a cut of the gate as a minor league player for the Mets. Holy cow.
Man, that sounds like a very Tebow thing that he would be able to negotiate into his contract, doesn't it?
Wow. So this guy is saying Tebow is putting dudes out of jobs. He really didn't deserve to be there. He wasn't good enough to be there. And not only that, he was taking some side money based on attendance.
Boy.
Nobody else was. He was the only one.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow. Holy cow.
Andrew Church, first off, not a good idea. Okay. This is always a bad idea. Any player that is looking to continue the sport that you love. Not a good idea to ever come out in a public forum and discuss issues like this. So, first off, you're a big dum-dum. You shouldn't have done that. Second off, wow, holy cow about the Tim Tebow part. Do you believe it?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, he's right about some things, for sure. Tim Tebow was the draw, and I know they were packing the house in, both at home games and on the road. I know that, very similar to what happened when Michael Jordan was he in the minors. Now,
Right. So
if you were to tell me, does a player who's the most responsible for making money deserve more money? I guess on the surface, I would say yes. And then
first off, I totally agree with that, yes.
All right, and then the other thing is, well, he's taking somebody's job. You know, if you're really that good, I mean, weren't we just talking about this with Kyle Sloter yesterday?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you're really that good, aren't you going to beat them out? I mean, aren't you going to be that valuable that they can't keep you on the bench? They got to play you if you're really that good?
I think that is the majority of the time true. And probably like 90% of the time that is true. But there are exceptions to that for sure. And if you could bring in a moneymaker like Tim Tebow, and he can make a minor league club a lot of money when they've never made money, you know,
right.
Of course that could be true. Of course people could lose jobs because they wanted to make money with Tim Tebow.
But it wouldn't be the first time that Tebow chose a path to make money rather or get attention rather than do a more logical sort of thing. And the big example of that is when he had a choice. The Broncos could have dealt him to the Jets or the Jags. And he chose to go to the Jets rather than the Jags.
What was the situation? I don't remember. Who were the quarterbacks?
We were getting Peyton Manning.
No. I'm saying for Tim Tebow, like
oh, I don't know how was there. Well, who is? I think he. You know, I forget.
Well, how did he make the choice in that? I mean, what do you mean?
Well, he had a choice.
No. Outside of like, I understand that he chose between the Jets and the Jags.
Yeah.
But what did he do selfishly there?
He took a bigger market team for more exposure to enhance his brand, rather than go to a team where he has a better chance to play, and more or less turned his back on the college area and his home base of fans. He chose the money. He chose the marketing opportunity. He chose the big city bright lights of New York City over podunk Jacksonville.
I kind of find that hard to believe. I really do. I would think he would. I don't remember who the quarterbacks of Jacksonville or the Jets were at the time. Maybe you do. But I would have to assume if he was trying to play football, he would take the best opportunity for him to play football.
Oh, I'll never forget it. And the reason why I'll never forget it is because he did not want to. he did not want to give the image that he chose New York over Jacksonville. He wanted to seem like he didn't have a choice and he had to go to New York. And when he started playing that game, John Elway got ticked off because they were doing Tim Tebow a solid. They were doing him a favor. And Elway quickly, rightfully so, responded that, no, this isn't true. Tim made the choice to do this. We were trying to treat him nicely. And it was...
I do remember that.
It was definitely a money sort of motivated issue. And listen, I like Tebow overall, for sure. But this seems like a bizarrely, baseball-wise, a situation where I don't know how he's looked at by the rest of his teammates. I mean, not well, obviously.
Well, I'm not going to judge Tim Tebow for it, though. I mean, hey, man, if you've got a name and you can make money off of your own name, who are we to tell him to not go make money off of his own name? I got no issue with that whatsoever.
Hey, I actually agree with you, but how does that clubhouse feel? Probably not good.
Of course, there's going to be players, but you know what I would say to Andrew Church?
What?
Provide a service that is so valuable to your club that they can't release you.
There you go.
Like, provide that service. Clearly, you could not provide a service that was more valuable than Tim Tebow, right? And if you could, no, they would not release you.
So there you go. Tim Tebow being thrown under the bus by baseball guys. How old is Tebow right now?
He's got to be, let's see. He came into the league in my third season. So, yeah, he's got to be about 32, 33, something like that.
And still with the baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about that. I'm not judging him for playing baseball. Look, man, if you want to go chase your dream, he's clearly got plenty of money. He's not worried about like finding his next career. He's just doing what makes him happy. I'm not going to judge him for that.
By the way, you asked a good question. Mark Sanchez was the starting quarterback for the Jets in 2012 at the time of the trade. Blaine Gabbert was the starter in Jacksonville. You tell me where he would have a better chance to play.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Mark Sanchez at the time, I guess, was well-regarded. Blaine Gabbert, was he well-regarded at the time? Had he played football yet?
The Jags finished 2-14 that year. I think Tebow might have had a better chance in Jacksonville than in New York, even though New York wasn't that great either. They were 6-6.
But I also kind of wonder, like, would New York really have been a better marketing place for him? I understand it's the big city, the big lights, but he goes back to Florida. Come on, can you imagine the amount of money he could make down there?
I agree. You just go anywhere and be a star, and you're going to do fine. But they wanted to go to New York. And
what town is the University of Florida in, D-Mac?
Oh, I don't know. Who knows?
That's Gainesville.
Is that near Jacksonville? Is that?
Well, I don't know. You said that he turned his back on his college town, so I was just
He played for Florida. I mean, Jacksonville's in Florida, ain't it? By the way, if you don't remember, when the Jets did the deal with Tebow, this was my favorite part of this deal. They didn't realize they were supposed to pick up like half of his contract, which was like $2.5 million. They literally overlooked that.
Oh, stop it.
I swear to God.
That was negotiated upon as part of the trade. You don't just trade somebody and have somebody take half the salary without that being negotiated.
I swear to God, they didn't know it. It was an issue, and then the Broncos just said, forget about it. We'll just take care of it.
Look it up.
I promise you.
Holy cow.
Look it up. We got to take a break.
No, I believe you. That's an insane situation.
They wanted to get rid of Tebow. It's like, you owe us $2.5 million. Oh, we didn't realize that. Never mind.
Don't worry about it. We're good.
Okay. Chris Harris is, oh, man. Chris Harris is going out in style here in Denver. Details next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Before I get to this Chris Harris story, I just came across a pretty cool story, Tyler. Good news to pass along. I told you the minor leagues are being decimated and players are losing their jobs. And, you know, it's going to be kind of a nightmare situation for minor league baseball players.
Yeah.
David Price, who's yet to really pitch for the Dodgers, him and Mookie Betts are, you know, with the Dodgers, but they haven't really got it going. And he's in the middle of a $217 million deal. How about that for David Price? Good for him. He is going to give $1,000 to every single minor leaguer who's not on the 40-man Dodgers roster, and that's roughly 200 players. He's going to give every single player $1,000.
Jeez, good for him.
How about that?
I mean, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so $200,000. Now, again, he makes...
I like free money. That's cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's a heck of a move because these guys, these... Just because you're a pro athlete, Tyler, and you would know this for sure, doesn't mean you're some sort of rich beyond your, you know, dreams rich. You know, it just doesn't work out like that.
No,
I think people sometimes
not.
Forget that you can be a professional athlete and really not make that much money.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're definitely making good money, but in the big picture, if you scratch it out for 2 or 3 years in the NFL, of course it's good money, and of course that's an incredible head start on life that most people don't have the good fortune of having, but it's definitely not like sit on your couch the rest of your life type of money.
Yeah, I mean, what if you're scratching out 9 years in the CFL, right?
Right. Well, or... I think those guys in Canada, like the – more highly paid players are making like $75,000. Quarterbacks can make a little bit more. And then the average guys are probably making around 50, 60 grand, something like that.
Yeah, what were the guys in the XFL making? I mean, what did they end up with? The AAF. I mean, how they're all pro players.
Well, they probably never got their contracts. They probably never saw the money.
Yeah. All right, Chris Harris. Boy, Tyler, you got to love players that go from one team to another and then throw shade at their old team, right?
What's he doing?
Okay, and we all know what happened with Chris, right? He got that free $3 million for what? I don't know. Chris Harris, I'm fired up, man. Chris Harris said via NBCSanDiego.com. Last year, there was a lot of stuff going on with me. Mentally, you never know how stuff will wear down on you, and I think it just did. Going into this year, I feel so happy. I have a chance. I feel very comfortable here. So, Chris Harris at the end was upset and mentally drained because of the stuff going on here in Denver.
Well, I mean, D-Mac, what was so offensive about that? What did he just say right there that was so offensive?
How do you think? Do you think he was all in last year, in his last year with the Broncos?
I don't know. That's a tough question because was he all in on the Denver Broncos? No. I mean, he clearly said that he... What was the quote? 13 more weeks and then I'm out of here, something
right.
like
Mark,
that.
Mark Kisla reported on it, and Mark Kisla got like thrown under the bus by everybody.
Okay.
But Mark was right. Mark was reporting what was really going on.
Okay, well, was he all in on the Denver Broncos, meaning he wanted to come back to the Broncos? No, but I do think he was all in on giving his best performance. He was in a contract year. Of course he was all in on trying to play good football. Of course he wanted to see a giant contract. I mean, all he's been talking about is money, money, money. Of course he wanted to give his best and put that on film. I guarantee you it was killing him that he had those bad few games to end out the season. I guarantee you.
Now, I'll give you this. That's nothing compared to what Melvin Gordon has recently said. Have you heard what Melvin Gordon said?
Oh, yeah. Talking about no big deal to play without fans this year because he's never had fans before.
Here's what he said.
Bro, we didn't have fans anyway.
Oh, oh man. Charger fans. They're not going to like that. Okay.
Man, we didn't have many Charger fans at the game. I'll just be honest. We didn't have many Charger fans at the game. You know, much loyalty, love. But we ain't had many, so I'm not missing anything. So okay. It's not much. It was crazy because Pounce from the Steelers said that to his brother on Instagram on his little story. And I was like, bro, he not lying. Like,
wow.
he's speaking truth, man. I'm just telling you that much. I've covered the Broncos for the last few seasons, working on the broadcast. I went to that stadium the last few years, and dude, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, it was 90% orange and blue.
Crazy. Well, both guys are telling the truth, and so how can we be upset with them, right? Well,
yeah,
both
I mean,
guys are telling the truth.
Chris didn't say anything that offensive, not even remotely.
Melvin was just funny. So have fun there, Chris, with the quote-unquote Chargers fans. Football
they got a
four.
New stadium.
They do have a new stadium. More room for the other team's fans. It should be fantastic. Seriously, who is a Chargers fan? Really, honest to God. Who is an L.A., not San Diego, L.A. Chargers fan?
Yeah, according to the attendance at the games, not many.
Right. What, do you think they're picking up more fans these days? I mean, I doubt it. It's going to be a...
They should have gotten Tom Brady.
Yeesh. Enjoy Justin Herbert. When we come back, Drew Locke and the Broncos' level of confidence in him takes a beating in the latest article on ESPN. Details next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.